Here we are at 11:06 on a Tuesday, November 24th. We're not thinking about turkey or what we might be having, maybe biscuits and gravy that morning. But we are still doing city and county business here at our 11 a.m. Monthly update. And Commissioner Morgan is absent, but Commissioner DeYoung and Fowler are here. We have Council President Tyler Fleming and City Manager Aaron Kubik. And expectation that the mayor is just running behind, and we'll be here in a moment. So let's start with item one, Destination Marketing Organization, Mr. Kubik.
Yes, you want to take the lead? You want me to?
No, it says.
It says my name?
Yeah, it does.
So I have, oh geez. So just to give you an update on that, the city has formally developed a starter board, which is five members, one city council member, and four members at large that represent different sectors within the community when it comes to travel and tourism. And
where's your community? What's the border of it? City of Grants Pass?
What's that?
What is the definition of within the community? Is it within the city of Grants Pass, or do you have anybody from the county in it on your board?
Well, actually, we have Travel Southern Oregon rep.
Yeah, which is Jackson Josephine.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, they have their five counties, so.
No wonder we don't get anything.
Douglas.
I'm
just telling you, yeah. Well, I know when you ask a question. I know.
Orla. Well, Aaron's getting to it, because we have a letter of invitation.
Yeah. Go ahead with your thing.
Yeah,
I'm asking your definition of the community.
Well,
now it's expanded to five southern counties, because we have Travel Southern Oregon. I travel Southern Oregon, don't have anything to do with back to the 50s or anything else.
So I think this is getting to the point that I wanted to bring up is I know that we sent a letter to you asking for your intent. We talked briefly about the potential of you having a seat on the board, which we still can make that happen.
Yeah.
But ultimately wanting to know if you're still considering that.
We are. It just hasn't got on an agenda
yet. Do you have a city councilor on that?
Yes, Councilor Loveless.
But they're talking about putting a commissioner on there. They invited us, Dan.
I sent a letter to you inviting
you guys. Is the invitation still open?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
There isn't an expiration date on it.
Yeah.
What is it? What's the
There
period?
Isn't one.
There isn't one?
Perfect. No, it's open.
No.
Maybe we should.
Just ask him.
Maybe we should put one on.
Yeah. Some people have a little experience in Josephine County, and I was wondering if maybe, you know, somebody with that kind of insight might sit on the board rather than somebody that's strictly interested in how many dollars they can make out of the motel industry. Because there are certain, you know, we need to look at this thing holistically.
Agreed. Yeah.
Really holistically.
Are you concerned about county representation?
Beg your pardon?
Are you concerned about lack of county representation?
Well, I would just like to have a seat at the table if there was a seat at the table available.
Absolutely.
You said there's five people there.
That's just a starter board.
There's an invitation for a sixth member to be from the county. Okay. And I thought we talked about it and Lily nominated me, but I'm not sure. And so let me clarify that. Annette's not here. And I don't know if anybody else remembers. But when is this commencing, and what's the funding look like? And
good question. So I'm going to be drafting this week or early next week a letter saying, "Hey, congratulations, you're on the board and
starter board."
But it's still open. I love it.
Soon.
Yeah, and letting them know that they are official, and therefore you can start having official meetings as the board and get started on creating bylaws and those kind of things, that there's a list of things that they need to start working on. So that'll go out either this week or next week.
Will this board committee or whatever it is continue on after you get the groundwork laid and who's going to do what on your tourism thing? But it will be ongoing year after year after year after year and be a place where somebody can say, "I want to do this in at Lake Selmec," and they can go before the board and get some kind of an idea as to whether or not that fits in with the plan?
Well, primarily it's a destination marketing organization, so their focus is in trying to fill beds in the off-season and during our on-season and get people to travel here. And so that's going to be here, meaning Josephine County. Grants Pass has a lot of the hotel infrastructure.
Well, yeah, most of them.
However, the things that they come to see and visit are not only within the city, but outside the city.
And they're here to go fishing on the lower road, they stay here. Mm-hmm.
So we'll be promoting our region
to
get people to come here. And so if communities like Selmac has some kind of awesome thing that, that's gonna potentially bring in individuals, then there, that's gonna be the hub for getting information out to bring people in.
Because I, when I spoke with the three folks from Travel Oregon, and I said, so tell me how many rooms you have available in the middle of July. Oh no, we're booked. And I said, so if we spend a bunch of money with your organization to bring more people here, you can't house them anyway. True? And they said, true. And I said, then the only time you really need to fill those beds, that it is to the local, through the lodging tax, would be to focus on the middle of wintertime. What can we do here in the middle of wintertime to draw people here in wintertime? Because you're booked solid all summer long. True or false? So they go, pretty much true. So we've got a, that window, and that's what I think we need to be concentrating on. But, you know, this is up to the board. But and they just, they said, well, yeah.
And we still want to maintain that because we don't want to lose any
summer. You want to make sure you have it full through the summer. Getting people here in the summertime is not a big deal. That's pretty darn easy from Boatnick all the way through to Labor Day. But it's not, it is an issue after that. We don't have Mount Bachelor. We're not in the shadow of Mount Bachelor. That's what keeps Bend alive, is people going skiing at Mount Bachelor. That's it. In Bend and wine tasting.
Yeah.
But
yes, you're right. It is going to be, like I mentioned, it's going to be really DMO's focus on getting the individuals here that's not in the peak season, because that sort of naturally occurs.
But in order to do that, you have to make sure that your events are welcome here. And that we are going out of our way. Good morning, Mayor. We are going out of our way to stay out of their way.
Uh-huh.
You know, as having been on the Active Club for just a couple of years, at one time I made a list of the people that support Boatnick and the people that get in the way of Boatnick. Surprising. I'd have to dig it up, but you would be really surprised at who stands in the way of Boatnick and then who is supporting Boatnick.
Well, and hopefully next year will be different. This board will be in place. Yeah. There may be an agency hired.
I think this
hired.
Board may be the sounding board for that.
Well, and the board may expand a little recommended.
It'll definitely expand.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The starter board is truly a starter board.
It is truly a starter board. And that way, that means if you are wanting to be an active participant and you have a board seat, this is the perfect time, because that board of five or six will expand to 9, 11, maybe 13, something along those lines. And that starter board is going to be appointing those other board members. And then they're going to be looking at defining that contract. The city will help define that contract with them. And then ultimately hiring some kind of executive director for the DMO.
Could you see that I get a letter?
What kind of letter would you like?
Well, you said you were going to send a letter out to the five board members. And you said there could be a sixth if you want one.
Mm-hmm.
Could I be that sixth board member if I'm interested?
Well, if the board of commissioners appoint you.
If the board approves.
Okay.
And so, good. Sounds like we're on a good trajectory there.
I think we are.
What about funding? Are you just going to start at the same amount you have been and then decide what kind of graduation maybe to get up a little closer to the state 70%?
Yeah, I think funding-wise, that might be, from a policy perspective, the mayor and council president will need to answer that, but currently right now we're looking at anywhere from 270 to 380 on transient room tax dollars that come in. That's our 30% of the, because we're under the old 30-70, which you're aware of. So that 30% is anywhere from 270 to 380 in one given year. That will all go to the destination marketing organization. Whether or not, I know we have general fund health issues when it comes to funding things like public safety, to where that 70% that's already spread out across other general fund operations, that's going to be a policy decision on whether council would want to touch that or not to add to the DMO aspect of it. But also, one of the things we did briefly talk about in a workshop yesterday was put the potential of maybe a 2% transient room tax and then
increase,
and then that would be a 70-30, which would provide an additional 70 to the DMO and 30 to the general fund.
Right, because I know the contractor suggested that your funding is way low compared to other comparators.
Does the county have a dollar amount that they have in mind that they would like to?
We do, which I've expressed at the CEDC and the Tourism Board. Of being in the ballpark of 100,000, we hope.
Excellent.
If we do get our own lodging tax, we could enhance that. But we only get like 400 to 450,000, and we've already committed 150 to airports, and then we have all our regular bills to
keeping in mind. If we were to say countywide, just for saying, this is a number that's been thrown out there. It did not come from Dan DeYoung. This is not Dan DeYoung's transient lodging tax, but say it was 3% across the board countywide.
Right.
Would you withdraw your 2% increase?
I think the council would. I would have to see the details of that exactly. Are you saying the whole 3% would go?
3%. All 3%. Across the board, because most of the lodging is in the city of Grants Pass.
Where would it go? Where would the 3% go?
Well,
you're
to the
eight,
DMO.
What are you eight now? I haven't said anything.
Nine. We're at 9.
You're at 9. So if we added 3, that'd make it 12, and that puts us right in the marketplace with everybody else up and down I-5.
I think we're at 9.70 or something. So basically, if you just said 10.
I've never looked at my bill to see what my lodging tax is. I'm in the parking lot, and I'm in the elevator, and I'm not going to say, "Ooh, that's way too much. $4 more, I'm out of here." Absolutely not. Cool. So looking at that part of it, I'm just asking because it's been thrown around a little bit about a lodging tax.
Sure.
And if we figure it countywide is where it does for us, but we would be able to give back to you and still cover what Commissioner Fowler's talking about. But you add 2 and then we want 3 countywide, that'll never fly the vote.
No.
It's true. And there's actually 3 competing because I hadn't heard about the city considering their increase. That's new to me today. The county has been talking about it for a year or so, but also the recovery district, that's the one, is also vying for 1%. So we've got a lot of people at the table who are asking. So we should be together when we make this decision.
And I want us to have that conversation so that y'all don't say, we're going to get the jump on you. We're not going to get the jump on you and then tank Josephine County's efforts to pull in revenue. Because we have, the county has a tourism aspect.
Sure.
And we're looking at what, and I have said this, like for instance, 325 going to, if we had a 3%, 325 going to the fairgrounds. And what's that for? Well, that isn't going to do a whole bunch other than service debt load for their master plan. So if they have something they want to do in their master plan and they get a bond, and the big thing is, in fact, oh, now you're going to raise my property tax. No. People from out of town are paying the payments on that bond. You're not paying anything here locally. Those folks are paying it from out of town. Oh, well, okay. Then it's a lot easier to swallow. But if you pipe up with 2 like you just did, our 3 just goes in the tank. Because if we put 3 outside of the city, it means very little.
Right, it'd have to be countywide if
we
do
anything.
It'd have
to be countywide. So let's have that conversation to see exactly through your finance department or our finance department what that is, and then possibly we will say, you know what, of what we collect, this amount is going to go into whatever you would have collected and gone into anyway. It can come from the county.
70% has to go to tourism. Mm-hmm. Whatever you collect, and then that has to be defined by what the state says is considered tourism.
Exactly.
You guys have some ideas on the table that are disputable whether they're tourism or not.
Right.
And that's not me. That's not me.
Of course.
That's what's being said.
We'll see what the state has to say about what they define tourism. I can see a destination. I can see what an event center.
Sure.
The fairgrounds could definitely be. I don't see how you could say it's not.
However, right, and same with the soccer field, so it's debatable.
Like, yeah.
If you look at the major events that happen here, there's one that fills the motels just like that, fills them a year in advance. What is it?
Boatnik.
Back to the 50s. Boatnik is a very local event. It brings in all the people from surrounding, because it's free. It's got that F word in it.
Yeah.
It's free. So it come. They come here. But if I've done this for a number of years, but you can shoot a gun down 6th Street on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, a boat that cannot hit anybody after the parade. Because everybody just converges on Riverside Park, and that's where the money is. It's a very local event. All the sponsors are local. The boat racers come in from out of town. The Parade Grand Marshal may come in from out of town, depending on if they have close course racers or whatever they are. But back to the 50s, fills the motels with hot rods. Every motel in this town has a hot rod in it. Many.
Which is cool. Hand up.
So we had a presentation about lodging in the summer that was data that was gathered by Travel Southern Oregon. And while they agree that Back to the 50s is a heads and beds type of event, that whether Back to the 50s happened or not, those hotels would be filled because it's July.
Right. Well,
then get rid of it.
Let me suggest.
Then get rid of it.
That's not me. That's
before we get rid of an event.
Just the best thing.
Travel Oregon says that, and Hotel Motel, let them try it. Go ahead. And they probably would fill it up.
Travel Oregon is an interesting organization.
But we wouldn't have.
Let's start with that.
We wouldn't have the people coming here that are going to stay here. You're going to have people that come in off the freeway, get a night, and go.
Yeah.
We want people to come here and spend 5 days or a week, and they don't have that.
So let me suggest a solution. Maybe we could get some sort of city county from the CEDC recommendation or whatever task force to look at this transient lodging tax and the three different aspects that are asking right now and say, hey, where's our best bang for the buck? Where are we going to get? Because if it is the countywide, say 1% or 2%, let's say it was 2% countywide, then we could dedicate 1%. All right, we're dedicating 1% to DMO. I mean, there could be some sort of easy formula that made sense, whether it comes from you guys or comes from us, same money. And so let's have a task force or a group look at that and not try and solve that problem here.
You put your...
It'll probably have to get solved after we're gone.
True.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're not getting ready before the end of the year.
I don't have a comeback, but you're welcome to get on the tourism committee.
if they want me. I don't know that they want me.
So before we slide entirely into politics, can we move on?
Yeah.
We got 23 minutes in. Let's go to number 2, County Planning Process River Road Reserve.
Yeah, so I just want to let you know that we received notification from the county that you guys finished your work on that and the sale is now considered complete, and want to thank you we were kind of held up on the surveying end, once that came through, you guys moved expeditiously. We appreciate that, and
that's
now that
news.
Money is going to, go to the highest and best use, and so we're excited. Thank you.
No, really, and looking forward to, after 10 years of owning it and not having the funds to do much with it, that now we have Prince Charming coming along, and the things that the state and the county said no to before, maybe those doors will crack open a little more with a little more grease on them. So, I don't know. I drive out there and I think about seeing cross fencing and horses and racing along the side. And oh man, that's going to be full of activity instead of just watching somebody's hemp grow or something, And so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
We're seeing an occasional drone flying around.
Right. hopefully the drones will be made whole in some way. I know they barely got started with 3 years and remote control planes.
Or radio controlled RCs.
Aircraft, yeah. Hopefully they'll find a good place to land.
So that's short and sweet.
Yeah. Appreciate that, though.
Yeah.
We get such good feedback out of our community development department. And a lot of that is Mark Stevenson being the director and setting a tone of, hey, we're not here to tell you what you can't do. We're here to try and help you find out what you can do.
Let's see if there's something really in the code that allows you to get done what you want rather than just saying immediately opening the book to, well, I'm getting here to tell you all the reasons why you're not going to get what you want. Because that's for far too long.
And so you're not the first one to say it, and we really appreciate it. We really do.
Appreciate that.
Okay, well, countywide broadband mapping. That has Fowler by it. I was talking to some folks. We're having some trouble. Clearly, broadband is an issue countywide, right? Especially
there's
with
need for it in the city.
In
too.
The city, well, that's countywide. You guys live in the county, if I remember right.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we want to come up with some sort of like a strategic plan for broadband. And we've talked to a guy that did a strategic plan like in 2012. And he said he would do it pro bono. I'll blow the dust off that and refresh it. And we're like, well, we want to make sure we get a really good report. And so let's talk a little bit. But in talking to the CEDC about the economic development, we're clearly missing on broadband for, you know, tele-education, telemedicine, and of course, home working from home because of our geography. And so even though the state broadband office has been up for a year, they have come up with nothing to help us. And so we're thinking of moving on our own to get at least a plan in place so that if we had some money, which the CARES Act provides for, we would be able to spend it in the most bang for your buck method, whatever that looked like. And so we're trying to develop some rapid decisions on that, because some of that CARES Act funding has to be spent by the end of the calendar year, which seems impossible. But you could at least award a contract to someone to do the mapping, and you'd have a tool to use going forward. And so if that sounds good to you guys, we'll keep pushing in that direction. And that's one of those things that's kind of hard to argue against, whether you're this political or this income or that income. You're like, that's an obvious one. We need to improve that. And even in my house, I have internet that if I'm on my phone, my wife's on the business computer, my daughter's going to school, and my grandson's going to school, we don't have enough. And we got a pretty high, decent package. And we watch it fluctuate, and we're like, man, I wish I had fiber to the house or something, you know. And
is that Charter?
It is Charter. We just changed over to Spectrum to try and improve it, and it went up about 15% off of our old CenturyLink. And
well,
so
part of the reason is, and that was my specialty in the computer world, system performance and capacity management. And if your load gets up to 75 to 80%, it degrades very fast.
Right.
And the thing is that there is a basic area where everybody feeds into a certain line.
Right.
And if a lot of people were on that, everybody's degrades.
They call that Netflix 30, right? At 6:30 or 7:30 when Netflix goes on, your computer does not work as well, because the neighborhood, even though they promised you 100 or whatever.
They do promise you 100.
Right, it's the entire neighborhood, and so,
So when you're talking, and the video and the audio aren't matching up, I do my speed test, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to get 100, they're giving me 40 right now.
Right?
You're lucky, 40, I've been down to 12.
Well, and in the CEDC, that's the kind of deception that has really kept broadband from growing, because somebody like Charter says, yeah, we got Josephine County covered. They say it in Washington, and they go, oh, great, Josephine County's covered. It's like, well, no, you're not.
No.
We're not really covered at all.
I don't know what Josephine
County. So there's
County,
a little fibbing going on.
Yeah, there is.
Charter Communications, when I went with them from another company years ago, oh, man, we're right on the edge of fiber optic coming right to your house. I still screw the thing out on the phone pole, just like I did 50 years ago. Coaxial cable running all over the house.
Well, the problem is fiber is so expensive.
Well, it never happened. They made Spectrum's a very large company.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not really interested in Josephine County for some reason. Because
well,
I guess
it's not a target-rich environment.
Yeah,
we don't have the customer base to offer them.
We're not 230,000. We're only 87,000 stretched over 1,600 miles or whatever it is.
1,600 square
miles. And we got a little backbone, so we're looking for fair. Anyway.
You know where I stand. I'm totally in favor of finding the best solution possible under the circumstances to have broadband for everybody.
And I think having a plan, like the target-rich environment is here, so let's go there first, and then B, we'll go here, and then C, and so we have, and then we can go to the private carriers and say, hey, here it is. Do you want one? We'll give one to you. Bid on it.
Is there a set?
You know, let's do it.
Put together a list and just say, okay, if you're interested in having broadband at your location, check the box. We have to have a market for them. You know, then we could go to the provider and say, we have this many potential customers if you were to put that in. They would know what their saturation level would be and whether it pencils for them or not. Right now, they say, we're telling them, put it in, and boy, there's a lot of people on board. How many people are on board?
Right.
We don't have that number to actually go anywhere, do we?
Well, we don't. That's why we need a plan.
I don't understand anything about broadband, 5K, 6K, 12G, or whatever. I don't understand any of it. But if I was in marketing, I would want to know what's my potential marketplace, and I don't think we have that number.
Well, and Cameron Camp that's why we need to get it. Cameron Camp with CavesNet out in Cave Junction did get a grant to install fiber to a bunch of houses in this neighborhood that has businesses and students as well. And so he did get one of the CARES Act money grants to do that improvement.
But he did the work.
It's the first. Yeah, but he still got the. He did the work for it, exactly. Yeah. And he worked through the Oregon Economic Development. I'm missing the name of it. But he did work for that because he's on the broadband committee up in Salem. But he found a way to improve his community, and that kind of breaks the ice. We're kind of like, all right, good. Now we got some ice breaking. So he knows the
crowd. Out loud, if he can do it in Cave Junction, as sparse as that is out there,
right?
Why can't we on somebody's radar?
Well, and I remember going down to, I can't think of his name, Novum, a fully web-based internet company, and he's looking at his phone while they're working on the computer. I go, why are you looking at your phone? He goes, my phone's a hotspot for the computer. And I'm like, what? I go, you don't have internet? No, they can't get it to our building. And they're like above the bead merchant.
Yeah.
I was like, this is right in the center of town. What do you mean they can't get you some fiber or something? He's all, nope, we've tried. And he finally found a way to get someone to deliver something better there.
So
but that cracked me up.
Can he come off of his own dish, his own satellite or something from the roof?
You could, but that could die.
That's expensive, yep. Especially if you want a really hefty,
fast,
hefty throughput.
Right. And so anyway, Grants Pass is not to be left behind in this at all because so many businesses here have that same struggle he had.
Truly amazed how they can shut my car off wherever I am and not affect the guy at the next door.
Right, but you can't watch a movie without it buffering four times.
Right.
Yeah. I still have to reset my clock every other day when PPNL drops a load.
And what's really surprising is that Hunter supposedly services up and down 6 and 7.
Right.
And it just amazes me.
Well, you
the
know,
good news, I saw LS Network pulling some fiber to our building.
Going back to what I said, they may not be aware of what enthusiasm there is here. Uh-huh. We said here, oh, why, 6th and 7th, why? Have you really gone down 6th and 7th or put out a questionnaire to say, how important is broadband to you and your business, to the bead merchant, for instance?
I know, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Never
well, and then you got to get people to be honest, and you got to get them to test. So they know what they're really getting, not just what they're promised.
Right.
It's a complex question. And so it's tough and takes money, really, if you want to get someone to go business to business.
If you had enough people that were willing to get on to get a spur out here, you amortize the cost of the spur out of all those customers that maybe pre-sign on. The guy said, we can make that pencil right now. Or, you put the spur in and boy, we'll be there. Well, the spur needs to be funded somehow.
Yeah.
And if we can fund it with CARES Act, let me do it. I mean, let's all do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it's a huge amount of money every mile for fiber.
Yeah.
And there is technology. It's not 100 meg type of thing that fiber or
wireless.
But there is technology using the airwaves.
Sure. Yeah, Cameron Camp
has fiber. And you plant this wire in the ground and you say it by the mile for fiber and so on and so forth, how many potential tag-ins did you go by getting fiber to this guy that truly wants it so you make him amortize that whole thing over his business company going, when we have five customers in that 1 mile, now it's only 20% of that expensive 1 mile, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if we don't have that,
I don't know. Do you guys know Amanda Metzler?
Don't mean to be a dead horse.
She's the president of Farms Inc., which is the residential properties that are growing legal marijuana that kind of grandfathered in our county. She lives out in Williams on one of those roads, and there was fiber like a mile away. I think it was about a mile. And she talked to the guy, said, we need it at our house. And they said, well, no, that'll cost, you know, $3,000. And she kept pestering them for about a month, and she got it down to free if she would dig a ditch out to the road. And so they brought fiber to her house. So there are solutions.
Yeah.
It's just you got to find and push in the right direction.
And so the main that's what thing I think is that we're hesitant to tell people what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
I think, just like her, $3,000 is a drop in the bucket to her. She'd have done it in a heartbeat, but she's a fighter.
She's got sharp elbows, so she decided.
But
I'm not paying her.
Let me decide whether that $3,000 is a good investment or not. Well, mm-hmm. We're not going to get it to your place because it's expensive. Oh, the cost per mile. Well, the cost per mile, you don't know. Well, if I don't know, it may mean nothing to me.
Yeah, exactly.
But if they'd have stopped at the neighbors in between her house and wherever it ended, mm-hmm. they could have picked up 9 more customers, say, out of the 25 that were there.
Exactly. Or she says, I'll pay for the whole thing to get it to my house. You don't know how much money people have and what is important to them, what they want to spend it on.
Yeah. So we got to find that out.
Yeah.
I agree.
And the question really revolves around getting to the right people for the survey, the ones that really want, because everybody is going to say they want
better.
Gig. They want it better. Do they really need it? And that's another question. And
Got to ask the right question.
Buy with 100 meg real easy. I do it all the time. And my wife is on her iPad, I'm on my iPad, my computer's going, and the Apple TV's going. But that's one thing. But a business, they need 500 to a gig.
Camille's really a nice lady. You ought to put all your stuff down and start talking to her. I'm just kidding. I get that from my wife all the time.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing. You got to find not only what you need, but how much do you need. And that makes a big difference, too. Mm-hmm. Because the price that the companies charge is based on the
potential
data.
Well, and clearly the government missed their opportunity to count it as essential infrastructure like 15 years ago or whatever the threshold was when we should have gone, geez, this is serious. And it should have happened from their level, like when they subsidized the telephone companies and the power companies to get infrastructure. And now the way they're doing it is through the CARES Act. And that's our opportunity right now, so we better take it.
Yeah,
we don't
want
to miss it.
But we've got to have the data in order to utilize
to ask the question.
We're going to have to justify that expenditure through the CARES Act.
I'm going to take that as a yes, then.
Also, the methodology of how you gather that data is really, really important. Do you want a short period of time to get as much data as you can?
Right.
Are you under a time constraint for the CARES Act? And so it depends. Is a statistical sampling good enough?
Right, and those are bridges we have to cross. But there's also the CARES Act money. The first round ends in December 31st. But there's other rounds that are still going to be coming that are still sitting at the federal government level. Not ones that haven't been approved, but have already been approved. So there will be other rounds, and they hopefully will be able to follow through and do some good in that regard. All right. Well, here we are at 11:40. Let's try, although I'm a little nervous. Transportation system plan, Mr. DeYoung?
Yeah, we were all in the meeting the other day, and you saw that I was a little bit more than upset, and I couldn't figure out why that this thing got to where it was without me knowing about it. Oh, you got it. You know all about it. You signed it. No, I didn't. Well, there's the deal. First off, not to get mad, but I've been down. Darren and I are the only ones that have been through the alternative bay. None of you have. The old alternative bay. The alternative bay had that big bulb out moving that intersection north.
Of Redwood and Allen Creek.
Redwood and Allen Creek Avenue and Allen Creek moving it north. And then the big street cutting right across the Racino, cutting right across the parking lot that you all made him put in to reach nowhere. That was going to be the off ramp. It was going to go right across the corner of his building and into this bulb out. The other side of the bulb out going west goes right across Auto Wheel and two residences and right across Dollar General, which you all said Dollar General, go ahead and put it in there. We had no plans for that. And if you knew that going in, that you were not going to do this, you would have told Dollar General, I'm sorry, we've got plans for that. And don't tell me you don't do it, because they off the other end of Lincoln Road where the Grange was, when it burned down, they wouldn't let the Grange build there. You know why? That's for the Fourth Bridge. Did you condemn that and buy that from the Grange? Did you buy that? Did you give just restitution? Nope, you didn't. It's just going to be there, and we're not going to allow you to permit that. End of conversation. The Grange could not build there because of your future plans for that Fourth Bridge. I'm not pointing at you individually, but the city's or ODOT's future plan. A friend of mine bought that out of L.A. He said, man, that's a bargain. Well, it was a bargain because why? When he tried to do something on there, the city goes, you can't do anything on there because that's where our road's going to go for the Fourth Bridge. It still sits vacant today. Oh, you're getting property tax off of bare land and you can't do anything with. And you still haven't paid anybody for it that I know of. But anyway, going back to this thing, if I don't know who from your organization looked at that layout and said, this looks great, we're on board, and then signed this MOU.
The Alternative A got signed?
Huh?
Alternative A got signed?
Alternative A did not get signed.
Okay.
No, Alternative A did. But I'm listening to the other day, if you caught on, and I've dealt with RV Act for long enough, you didn't hear Mike Baker. You heard what Mike Baker said? I'm going to go look for funding starting February of 2021. The second he goes to the federal government and looks for funding, this is cast in stone and brought down from the mountain. You're screwed by this right here. The terms of this MOU shall not be waived, altered, modified, supplemented, or amended in any manner whatsoever except by written agreement. And then you all put it in, and what was Anderson on the other day? Every question that came up, he said, well, I'm sorry, but it's in the city's, it's in TSP. Not in the county's TSP. We sat right here in this room and said, is Fourth Bridge going to go across there? And I think to the man of you, he said, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Until ODOT says, well, you don't understand. See, we're going to move those. We'll bring it right to the river's edge. You just got to jump the span. We'll take care of it. And you said, whoa, they're going to do all of that. We don't have to do anything. All we got to do is a span. Let's sign back on for it. I don't know if that's what you're thinking was, but it appears that way. The problem is if you look at that, and what I was trying to get through to them the other day, and I needed some backup from the city of Grants Pass that signed this, is that we will look at. And I asked Anderson, I said, are you going to allow us to redesign this or alter your design? Oh, I guess so. And I said, don't pat me on the head. I know exactly what they're getting ready to do. And that will get, that's going to run. Here we are trying to get the fairgrounds. It's finally got a toehold in this sheer rock face, and this will take it away. There's no reason for Boardman to go one step farther on his building and his plan out there if y'all are going to put in Alternative A as it's now on the list.
Well,
so I've got...
I got to ask a question about that, Dan.
Yes.
When we had this conversation with some ODOT folks, I think we were all in the room, they said we need the easiest way to get a third lane from Williams to Allen or to Redwood Avenue or whatever... was to revive Alternative A and use it as the bookmark and money to get the third lane. So I thought it had nothing to do with the bypass that you're talking about. I thought it was just for the three lanes.
That bypass is exactly what they're going for.
Well, then they did a bait and switch on us because
exactly.
In this room, ODOT said...
They knew they saw, they want a third lane. Now we're going to get at our intersection.
Well, and they're never going to get that bypass on Redwood Avenue. We're never going to say yes. And truthfully, we're not going to say yes to the bridge till they want to pay for it.
We don't say yes.
Because we don't have that kind of money.
They did say yes. Now,
they put it back in the plan, and that does skew some of the charges.
This is an MOU. It's not an IGA. This is, I think, what Commissioner Fowler was saying, the intent of this MOU is exactly what he said. It was an opportunity for us to bring back to the table discussions on how to improve our transportation infrastructure. ODOT's transportation infrastructure.
Not theirs. Well,
by them scoping out your concept, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm sure you're going to get it to them, is an example of it just being an MOU. It doesn't mean that is going there, it's going to look like that, and it's set in stone from that perspective, because we are looking at other things. This is an opportunity, this is just an MOU that says, hey, we're coming back to the table, we're utilizing this A to come in as just that place starting point, so we can not start from ground zero again. But that's what that MOU says, basically.
You gotta listen to Mike Baker.
Well,
that's the one that triggered me. When I sit there and listen to Mike Baker long enough, and I can find out what he's doing. And I've dealt with Mike Baker 150 times. Case in point, you all were there. Metropolitan Planning Organization. How creative did they get in the MPO to put Grants Pass in an MPO? They brought in two cities from Jackson County to make the population say, yeah. And Baker sat there with that smirk on his face and said, you can't stop us. It didn't matter what we said. I said, if the whole council says no, he goes, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Does not matter.
And we weren't allowed to say no in the city because we're the highest population center. We had no choice.
Exactly. Yeah. But they had to make it 55,000 or you couldn't be it.
Right, or make it over 50.
Yes, yeah. You're right. And though, that Metropolitan Planning Organization is not an identifier by the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon identifies with that, but the creation of that is at federal level, not the state level.
You're trying to make chocolate taste like peanut butter, and that isn't going to work. So
thank you.
I'm just telling you. Yeah, thanks. I caught myself, didn't I?
You did. You caught very well.
But what I'm telling you is, when Baker says he's going out for funding in February of 2021, it's for their plan, not ours. And that's why I want to just please tell me, yes or no, can we submit something? And don't pat me on the head like BLM does, mm-hmm. because I'm going to come for you. I'm going to come after you tooth and nail. So right now I've got two engineers, and we're going to draw something up at Public Works, and we're going to submit it. It'll be submitted to the city council ahead of time.
Awesome.
Because Valerie right now says, well, I don't see any other way that can happen, and this is going to happen because we're going to grow. Stop. I've got the bigger plan in mind that goes all the way out to Dowell Road. And it's something you all really ought to look at. And you want to, wow, we need more. Why? We need more residential. I said, I'm going to give you residential if you listen up.
I think that concept has merit.
You bet it does. Yep. But we've got to get ODOT to listen. And if you, at either one of us, then it's 2-3. Sorry. You lose. And I'll tell you who's losing on our side of the table. Her.
Fairgrounds.
We're finally getting it to where that fairgrounds has a chance to survive on its own. And just like I told you at the beginning of this meeting, we're doing everything in our power to see that can't happen.
So
this is why I'm upset.
No, and I can appreciate that you're
and I read upset. This.
The key that you said, I think the key takeaway is, though, on all this, is we can't lose sight that we have to be a team.
People
in this room have to be speaking with one voice. If we start to get frayed, that's the weakness that ODOT wants. So we have to continue to make sure that we're on the same page. And if we start to meander a little bit, we need to have further discussions
so that
we are always together.
And pull back together. So I'm going to get this thing put together. And I think collectively, if we all agree on it, we'll submit it to ODOT and say, this is what we want. Tell us why it doesn't work. And you know what the thing that really, when I got done, I was almost laughing. You know what Baker said at the very end? Did you hear it?
I had to leave the last 10 minutes of the meeting.
Did you hear what he said at the very end?
Oh, in there.
Oh, you weren't there. Anyway, what Baker says at the very end, well, I can see we better get a traffic count out there. I said, what did you say? You're ready to go for funding and you don't even have a traffic count to see if what you have here works? Out of your ever loving mind.
What is Art's last name over there?
I submitted this a long time ago, and they looked at it because I caught Anderson and Mike Montero from RVAC looking at this. Same time we were going to move the transformer out, the pole out at
Soft Q.
Yeah, out of Soft Q. Uh-huh. I submitted three things at that particular time on a yellow sheet.
It got done.
One of them did.
Yeah.
One of them did.
One of them did.
Where are the other two? ODOT's going. Okay. Well, I said I'm no traffic engineer. I told Dan Durrell that. I've got to go away and die and be buried with my money. And then all of a sudden, one of the ODOT traffic engineers are going to go, boy, you ought to say, oh, I woke up in the middle of the night. Boy, did I have a premonition. let me show you this, fellas. And then it's their idea, they'll do it just like that. But we have to sell it to them. I swear it'll work. And if it doesn't work, we'll pat dirt in my face and show.
Well, from what you
but
said,
we want to do, I want to present it.
Yeah.
And not just present it to, let's hear him out and then he'll go away. My God, he's not going to go away unless we hear him. But I want you to really take a look at it from the city standpoint.
So part of that, so you won't get that reaction from ODOT, is I think you've got the right idea. Present it to council first.
I'll let you guys present it. I can't present it.
Well, no, present it, and then together, we're coming to ODOT. If you start bringing something, you having the idea to spark it, great, develop it, get us on board before it's presented back to ODOT.
Well,
so we're always speaking with one voice.
Attending that meeting the other day said, we're not in the room. Complete disregard for her and her program, which is complete disregard for the liaison, which is complete disregard for the Board of County Commissioners because we weren't in the room. And then I say, oh, well, you're on board. You signed it. No, I didn't. This is the first I heard that there was an MOU signed while I wasn't here.
But there's got to be a signature from the county on that, isn't there?
Huh?
Is there a signature from the county on that?
Oh, yeah, there's two of them. Lily Morgan and Darren Fowler.
Okay.
Dan DeYoung, not vice chair. Daniel E. DeYoung, not absent at signing. I get that. There have been times that I'm not here, times Lil's not here, times Darren's not here. But when they said, oh, you signed on to it. No, I did not sign on to it.
You mean
because I wouldn't have signed on to it at that time. I don't think. I'm okay. For the MOU, I guess for the substance of the MOU is what you're saying.
Was it you or the collective you?
The what?
Was you meaning you or the collective? When they said you, was it you or the collective you? Meaning everybody. So when they say you, that can
well,
be...
Well, it was the majority of the board.
Yeah.
But it was the majority of the board.
Right,
I get that.
That's the collective you.
And I'm okay with that. But when they said you signed on to it, no, I didn't.
Right.
There's a difference between you and you.
Yeah.
Depends on what it is.
It's just like when you were sitting over there pointing your fingers at all of
us. It's not to you.
I know. That's my point.
So far the way I see
it. Baker looked at me and said, you signed it.
But
no, I didn't.
So far the way I see this process is working. You've got an MOU, which is just a memorandum of understanding, not an IGA. You've proposed something above and beyond, totally 180 from what they've got proposed. They're willing to look at it. So
I didn't hear that out of the meeting the other day out of Baker. Baker is chomping at the bit to go. Anderson needs to tell Baker, don't you start, because that's how this whole thing begins. That's how Alternative A got unwound in the first place. And then Valerie says, well, we have to have that Allen Creek thing. I said, I get Allen Creek. That's yours now. That isn't ours. Do Allen Creek. We understand that part of it. I don't think there was any objection to Allen Creek on Alternative A 12 years ago or 10 years ago. None. I had to deliver the message to RV Act. They were not happy campers. The Act was. The Act
right.
Certainly understood as the governing bodies on that board. But boy, ODOT was steam. But then what's his name got up there and he goes, well, I back off on the city of Grants Pass because, you know, that money for that project would have come from the XYZ fund, and I'm here to tell you, for the foreseeable future, there is no XYZ fund. So the city of Grants Pass would have paid $26 million for Alternative A, because that's what it was scoped at last time, and they were only going to give us five. Where's the other 21 going to come from? And you amortize it out, and you know what Alternative A would have saved in travel time from South Y to Dow Road? Read the report. 30 seconds. Came out to almost $90,000 a second. No, 105. And is that worth it? I don't think you're going to buy that. So the whole thing, I'm just saying that when you get ODOT, when they get something in their mind, and I asked the other day, are you trying to make this thing so big that it's going to be a huge project? And Brandis brought up, this isn't the South Y. We're trying to give you some relief from that South Y for maybe 15, 20 years, then you can make your decision on the 4th Bridge. But don't carve out the 4th Bridge right now because you can't afford it. You never will be able to afford it.
Correct.
In any of your futures.
Correct.
So why move that intersection now? My question was, why don't you move the intersection in conjunction with the 4th Bridge if indeed that's where it's going to go? Why are you changing it now?
And I concurred also and spoke up supporting Brandis.
I was really proud of you that you sat right there. And I thought, I looked at my screen, I thought, gosh, is he asleep or not? No, I'm teasing you.
Well, so we need to stay focused on. Yeah, they were starting to go grand.
But that's where these two tables need to come together, I think.
Well, and we had the fourth bridge on the transportation plan the last iteration.
Mm-hmm. It's been on there, what, 4 or 5 years?
And many people complained that the SDC charges were skewed because of, I think it was an $11 million bridge back then, which is pretty laughable now.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a transportation plan for this town from the 50s. And you know what's on it?
Stone tablets?
No. Third bridge is on it.
Oh, really?
Now, that was the 50s, and we didn't put it in. It's 30, 40 years out.
Golly.
And that whole parkway is on it.
Yeah.
Well, and so you intend to charge those same SDC fees that were complained about for years because the fourth bridge is in the new transportation plan. So will be a part of the calculation?
So it is part of the calculation, but as you're probably aware, both of you, that we are only charging a small percentage of the total allowable amount
of the transportation.
That's
true.
So it's still sort of a line takes into account for that in a way that it's not potentially going to be billed or will be billed in the future. But we are much lower in our allowed methodology in charging.
Did we take Lincoln Road over?
Beg pardon?
Did we take Lincoln Road over when we got Low River Road?
No, we did not.
Just lower, right? So Lincoln's still on ODOT?
We don't have the bridge. We stop before the river is carving underneath Low River Road. But we didn't take that. We're back this way, almost wildlife images. Because we don't want that carve out, because that road is eventually going to fall in.
Oh, yeah, you're talking way out there.
I'm talking way out there. On this end, it starts at Lincoln Road and goes that way.
Yeah.
But Lincoln is still...
Still ODOT?
I think so.
I've checked into that. But we shall see. We're down to a minute or two. Yeah. I wanted to ask you on Allen Creek. Is that project still moving forward for the road improvements to Denton Trail?
The Allen Creek Road Project? Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. It is still moving forward. It's just really slow.
Right.
And so...
Is it in engineering right now, and how much property it's going to take? Because we were close to condemnation, gave it to you guys, and now
right. We're still going through the process of discussion and how we're going to deal with the acquisition of right-of-way. And the last time I talked to staff, we were just trying to sort of assess what dwelling units might need to be fully acquired and what dwelling units wouldn't. And
well, because clearly that is one of the best areas for our housing crisis to be developed around, and close to services and schools. And so I know it's been too long. We don't even want to count the years, but I hope that we can count the rest of them on one hand.
Well, the positive is anyone that's a property owner that lives on that right now can begin the development process. They can get the rezone.
Oh, okay.
Can start the development. That's there. Of course, we haven't done the road improvements yet, but they can start that process.
And they don't have to do the road improvements since it's already paid? Or?
We would probably do some kind of deferred development
thing.
It would be ultimately us doing it. So
we're glad to hear it, because that's ripe.
We
can
work something
nice.
Out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr. DeYoung.
I don't know how you can lay out what you're going to do in the future, because if you go all the way 66 feet like your expanse has, mm-hmm. That's the reason I didn't want in on it, because you know what? None of my business where your roads are going to go. That's going to be up to the developer. If they buy the whole east side of that, mm-hmm. purchasing property that the city of Grants Pass owns out there, which is quite a bit, they could buy that whole thing, and then they decide where the streets comes in, and you've got it all in, carved out. You don't have any streets carved in, and now they've got to go cut that sidewalk and tear that out. I think you would be better off to say, city is going to pay for the 40, you have 40 feet from us. 40 feet is two traffic lanes and a turn lane and curbs and gutters. Without any land acquisition, without any condemnation, no nothing. You go right through there without any problem at all with your 40, with the 40 feet. And then you insist that the developer take that and amortize it over every building lot in his development, rather than Darren Fowler that lives in the southwest section of town paying for that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rather than do that, and that's why Atkins?
Yeah.
Cheryl Atkins is there, is because she wanted the city to pay for all of the development along that, because she wouldn't have to do it later if she decided to buy that big chunk of that and develop it. So I would think you might just look at that, and then that kind of gets you, I would say, away from the eminent domain issue if you carve that back. And talking to Mr. Anderson, I said, you know, boy, they want to go all the way out with all these things and, you know, multimodal paths. He goes, it's not a requirement from the state. Two traffic lanes, a turn lane, and curb to gutter. The rest of it's all up to you. Whatever you want to put the money into, go ahead. But we kept saying, it's got to be this, or the state won't give us the money. And that's not true. That is not true. I checked with that. Okay. Double check on that, but I did. I asked Art. I said, you know, do we have to put all that in? You know, can we put, you know, like a paved multimodal path down along the creek or something? He said, I don't care what you do. It could be granted as far as I'm concerned. It's not a requirement by us.
So then you wouldn't be required to put in a bike lane, then, it sounds like.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
You'll get like, what's his name, from Jackson County. He used to be their public works guy.
Terry Hawk?
No. Big bike guy. Big bike ped guy.
Oh.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, name slips me. Oh, he'll be all over this. But because it's an opportunity for you to do what he wants. But will they pay for it? No, it's not. They don't have to pay for it. You don't have to use the money for that.
Okay.
I don't think. That's what Art explained to me. Now,
well, and we tossed that decision over to you. We talked about it for a year. Yeah.
That's up to you guys.
Or two.
That's up to you guys, whatever you want to do. But I guess it's encouragement for a developer to take it because you're giving them a huge first step. But you're giving them that at Roy Lindsay's property tax or wherever it's going to come from to pay for that. So I'm just saying, as you get into this eminent domain thing, and Baker talked about that the other day, and so did Art. About, well, you know, we'll have to look at eminent domain. I went, oh my gosh, do you ever? Do you ever? And then Valerie said, well, they haven't started that building. Make them move it. I said, they already moved it 10 feet. And now we're going to go make Travis move it again? I'm sorry, he's got footings in, brother.
That ain't going to happen.
Now it is a T.
Already been approved.
Those are just things that I have concern about this. And I'm sorry if I get emphatic about it, but I ain't got much time on the dance floor like y'all do. And when I see stuff like this just creep, it's like it's like a glacier.
It's not the age.
Although sometimes I might not want to be your dance partner, we should still dance through the process.
Well, you missed the point. My time on the dance floor is limited. So, but
dude,
I
it's
really
not the age, it's the
I
minds.
Really have concerns about our conversations. I don't have concerns about us collectively, collaboratively working together, but we have to work together or she's going to lose, and this side of the table will lose again because the city put it in your TSP. Why anybody would look at that and put that in the TSP, I have no idea. Who
it was
put it in there?
Trust.
That's what I want to know. Was it Terry Haugen that put it in there? Was it Martin Siebel that put it in there? Laurel Santa put it? Who put that in there? Because that
going
thing, if you look at it, you go, what the heck is that?
Honestly, if you look at the way the TSPs are done throughout the state, with the state of Oregon actually being the ones that's the funders and the contract with the engineers, it is a plan for local communities, but it's an ODOT-driven transportation plan.
But you have it in yours as you saying, yeah, that looks good to us.
We agree. All right,
when you sign that, you're on board with it. And now it's 2-1, and this one is going to be, as you know, pretty loud.
Like
pretty
many master plans, it's a master plan that provides for the future outlook, and sometimes master plans get fully completed, sometimes they get amended, sometimes they get changed. So I just
implore you to look at what we've come up with an open mind.
Sounds right. Good.
Let's and if you want to say, nope, I don't see where that works, then I'm going to say, you know what, I think Joe Barton is a president. That's all I can say.
Are we going to have a meeting in December?
Let me end on a different note. Lily won't be here. She's taking some vacation time. And so I'd be happy to have a meeting unless there's nothing to be accomplished.
We discussed that this morning on KJO. Darren and I are going to be on KJO that day. If you want to do it after KJO, it's the 22nd.
22nd or 23rd, a couple
days
before.
Before Christmas. If you want to do this, I'd love to. By that time, we will probably, well, I know we'll have it all set up by then.
Well, then let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll have it all laid out.
Okay.
Well, then I'll say my teary goodbyes
until
then.
We're ready to rock and roll. Yeah. We've laid quite a bit of it out already.
Okay, here we are, 12:05. Much appreciated. Healthy discussion.
Have a nice New Year's.
Talk to you sooner.
Thanksgiving, whatever.
Talk to you later. Yeah. Here at 12:06 now.